The gospel reading for today comes from the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, the others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Lord, I just pray that you open my mouth to have the words that you have for us today. Lord, open our hearts and minds to hear this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Savior and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to start today by asking you a question, a real simple question. Who are you? Internalize that for a second. Ask yourself that question. Who am I? For many of us who may have had an overbearing father that repeatedly told us, "You're stupid, you'll never amount to anything," you might hear that right away in your head. No matter how successful you are in business, no matter how successful you are at school, that may still resonate in your head. The facts may be contrary, but you still, as soon as you ask that question, you say, "I'm stupid." Maybe you might be like some of us who are on the schoolyard being bullied, and you're being teased and called the big fatty. And so as soon as that question might be, maybe you've lost a ton of weight, maybe you're super skinny, and yet whenever that question gets asked, "Who am I?" all that comes up to your mind is, "I'm the big fatty." Maybe it's the other direction. Maybe you've got a mom or a dad that repeatedly tells you everything is awesome. I love how you do this. You are so fantastic. Even though the facts are contrary to that. You know, we've all been there before. And, you know, oh, this is an awesome art project. I love it so much. Crumple it up and throw it away, right? And the facts might be contrary. But even though we might be struggling in life, going nowhere, when somebody asks you that question, "Who am I?" the answer is, "I am awesome. I don't do anything wrong." See, sometimes our identity can be confused by what other people tell us. I think back maybe 13, 14 years ago, Susie and I were going to a church. We were fairly new there, and we dropped off my oldest son, Paul Thomas, for Sunday school. He must have been 4 or 5 years old. Don't do the math. I'm probably off here. But I remember thinking, okay, we're dropping him off and we'll come pick him up afterwards. We come pick him up and the Sunday school teacher says, "Mr. Nickelbein, I'd like to talk to you for a minute." And he pulls me aside and says, "Okay, well, how can I help you?" He goes, "Well, Paul tells me that you beat your wife." I am crawling in my skin at this point in time, and she starts to smile and lets me off the hook fairly quickly and says, "I understand you're a pretty good card player. Paul tells me that you beat mommy every night." Our identity can be confused, though, by what people tell us, can it? Sometimes we listen to these voices. Sometimes they're real and they can really affect us in ways that aren't so good, even if it's something good and even if it's something bad. If we listen to what people tell us, it may not affect us in the way that God has for us. If you've got a Bible in front of you, I encourage you to open up to Matthew 16. We're going to refer back to this verse that we read on the screen a little bit earlier. We're going to go through some of these verses, starting at verse 13. I'm going to hear what God has for us today, what he tells us. You see, and when we look to what God's word has for us, we learn there that Peter is asked a question along with the other disciples. Jesus asks him, "Who do you say, or who do the people tell, who are the people saying that I am?" Jesus is curious. He knows But what are the disciples hearing? And the disciples' response is, well, some people say that you're Elijah. Some people say that you're Jeremiah. Other people say that, well, you're John the Baptist. And Jesus looks at him and says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter, you know, we've talked about Peter quite a bit in the last couple weeks. Peter very quickly responds, you are the Son of the living God. Peter's very confident in that, right? I love how Jesus brings out the rational side of things, though. And he looks at Peter and says, that's a great answer, but who do you say that I am? And Peter responds so quickly, the way we know Peter always does. We know that Peter will confidently respond with what he wants. And you know, there's humor in this answer. Because if you back up just a couple verses, go back to around verse 8 in there, you're going to hear the story of how the disciples got into a boat. They went across the lake. And as they're getting to the other shore, they start complaining and go, oh no, we don't have any food. And Jesus looks at him and says, you foolish disciples. Didn't I just feed a whole bunch of people? And the leftovers you picked up from a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread were baskets full? You have little faith. And so here it's humorous that Peter immediately responds, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, right away. Could you imagine Peter and what he was thinking at this point in time? He knows without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. But could you imagine what's going through his mind at this point in time? Yeah, I know that Jesus is the Son of God. I know that Jesus wants to work some pretty amazing things here. But how do I fit? Man, I just don't have faith. I keep screwing up. Back up a couple more chapters and you're going to see the story of where Jesus is walking on water. And Peter says, oh, you're Jesus. I know you are. And I'm going to walk out on that water too. And what happens? Peter starts walking on that water until his faith wavers a little bit and he starts sinking. Can you imagine what the disciples said? Oh, Peter, you don't have any faith. Of course, that was the one that didn't get out of the boat. But doesn't that resonate with Peter? Doesn't that stick in Peter's mind and go, well, I didn't have faith? Imagine after Jesus chided the disciples, and Peter's always the one that speaks up, isn't he? Jesus is probably looking at Peter as he's chiding the disciples. And Peter probably is thinking again, well, I had little faith again. And you know there had to be one of the other disciples there kind of giving him a hard time, saying, Peter, you're the one that speaks up. How come you don't have the faith? Granted, that wasn't a disciple that ever talks. But aren't we often in that same situation? See, I think that Peter was really wondering, what's my role? What am I supposed to do? I can just imagine these disciples blaming Peter. And Peter taking it to heart. Peter had to be wondering, yeah, this is the Son of God. You are the Christ. But how do I fit in this whole situation? But don't we do the same thing? Don't we fall into the same traps? Don't we often wonder what our role is in God's plan? See, we all have access to the Bible. We can go look in our Bibles, whether it's the book, whether it's the computer, then go to BibleGateway.com, or whether it's looking at our phones and looking up the chapters and verses. We all have access to the Word of God. We can see by His acts and power that He truly is the Son of God. We can see that Jesus died on the cross for us. We know this. But then we hear those voices that we're not good enough. We're not following His Word. We're not doing the things that God should tell us we should be doing. And we believe them. We hear those other voices where whether it was the dad that was telling us we're not smart enough, we're not doing the right things, we'll never amount to anything. Whether it was that bully in the schoolyard telling us other things that aren't true. And we hear those things and we forget that promise that we have of forgiveness. We forget that promise that we do need to ask for that forgiveness and repent. We forget those things. And then we move on from that into those really dark places. And we get confused. And we don't follow God's will for our lives. And we just forget completely. And we get down on ourselves. We've all been there at one point or another, haven't we? Maybe you're there today. But the awesome thing is, as we continue on in the next couple of verses, that Jesus then uses his comforting side. And I love how he does this. He looks at Peter and he looks at him and says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." And Jesus looks at Peter and gives him four important points. The first part, blessed are you. You know, Peter, just like all of us, made a lot of mistakes. He was just a little bit bolder than the other disciples, so we get to see him recorded in Scripture a little more often. But you know what? Jesus here looks at Peter and says, "Peter, you are blessed." Here he invokes the blessing of God the Father on Peter and says, "You are loved, you are blessed. And even if you've had a failure in the past, and I know you're going to have more, Peter, I'm watching over you. You are loved and you are cared for." Secondly, if you follow along there in the next verse there, he says, "Peter, you are a rock. You are part of the church, strong enough to build the church on. Peter, you are important enough to be used by me. I know you might make more mistakes, but I can, and I will use you to build my church." Thirdly, he looks at Peter and says, "I am going to give you the keys to the kingdom." Now, Jesus giving Peter some keys to the kingdom is a pretty important part here, isn't it? I mean, how many of you are willing to pull the keys to your house out of your pocket and just turn and give them to anybody else in here? And we're in church, so you should probably trust the people that are here, right? But I don't see too many people doing that. Okay, how about you just give your car keys to somebody else? Keys are kind of important, right? But here, Peter is getting the keys to the kingdom of heaven. "Peter, you have the ability to share my message with other people. Don't you forget that, Peter. This is important. Important enough that I care about you and I love you enough to give you the keys to the kingdom." And finally, Jesus tells Peter, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Peter is here being able to given the confidence that as he is building the church, he is able to share forgiveness, share the truth of what is going on in people's lives. You see, as we listen to what God is doing in Peter's life, we can apply that to ourselves too, can't we? Can't we look at that? We too, like Peter, can find grace and comfort in the words of Jesus. If you flip over to John 15, verse 15, you can see here that Jesus tells us, "No longer do I call you my servants, for the servant doesn't know what the master is doing, but I have called you my friends." We are the friends of Jesus. We can consider ourselves friends of Jesus, just like Peter was walking alongside Jesus. And as he blesses Peter, we can consider ourselves being blessed in the same way. And if you have any question about that, flip back to Matthew 5. In fact, I encourage you, when you go home today, whether you're going to look at it on your smartphone, on your computer, or pull out that old book, open up to Matthew 5. Read those couple verses there, 1 through 12 or so, where it says, "Blessed are you," over and over and over again. When you're going through difficult times, when you're struggling and wondering what your role is in life, God looks at you and says, "You are blessed." He blesses you just like he blessed Peter and says, "I love you and I will take care of you no matter what the situation is." Secondly, just as Jesus told Peter he was the rock, he also looks at you and says, "You are rocks. You are important parts, important pieces to the puzzle of my church. You are part of the church that I want you to help grow this congregation. I want you to know that you can share this message with other people." And as Jesus gives Peter the keys to the kingdom, he also gives you the keys. You can be rest assured that Jesus gives you the keys to the kingdom, that you can be assured that Jesus died on the cross to take away your sins, to forgive you, and he wants you to be up in heaven. And not just that, but share that important message with those around you. You see, just like he did for Peter, he looks at you and says, "You are my child. I give you the keys to the kingdom. I love you, and you are blessed." There should be no confusing our identity in that. No matter what somebody said to you years ago, no matter what those voices inside your head are challenging you and saying, "You are bad, you're evil, you don't do anything right," no matter what the situation is, you can remember that you are blessed, you are loved by Jesus, you are given the keys to the kingdom, that he loves you and wants you to share that message with others. Do. Don't listen to those other voices that will distract you from this message. Don't listen to the things that can confuse who you are, because you are a child of God whom he loves. And even our own children, it takes a while to give them our own car keys, doesn't it? But he gives them to you freely, immediately. But how do we do this? See, isn't that the next chapter? How do we fully embrace this and remember this? Well, part of it is being part of the plan, stepping in and going out and doing what he's asking us to. When he says, you are part of my church, on you I'm going to build, you are a rock, a stone. You know what that also means? It means you can go out and be part of his plan. You see, not this coming week, but the week of July 7th through 11th, we're going to be doing a number of different things. We're going to be passing out flyers into the neighborhoods, in the parks, to share our upcoming VBS, where we're going to share with these kids the message of Jesus through a unique way of weird animals, if you've seen them on the screens and the announcements. You don't have to teach the kids. You don't have to do anything other than share these pamphlets with kids in your neighborhood or the kids in the neighborhoods around us. That very same week, Pastor referred to the sports camp that I just went to on the east side of Detroit Monday through Friday. Well, we're going to do another one of these sports camps, July 7th through 11th in the evenings. I just want to share with you what happened this last week. We had well over 100 different kids come to the sports camp. During this camp, the kids were provided a meal. They were provided a sport that they were able to learn, whether it was cheerleading or basketball or football or lacrosse, golf or martial arts. These kids were able to learn a new sport, something they may not have been able to participate in before. And they were given, more importantly, the message of Jesus. I'll tell you this story about Carl. Brother Carl, as he likes to be called, was a longtime member of the church that's out there. And he'd gone to church regularly on a regular basis, and he very often just sat in church and listened and soaked everything up, but he didn't go out and participate. He would once in a while go to Bible study, but that was about it. And the pastor encouraged him, Kyle, you should really, really, really try to help out with this sports camp. He says, all right, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll go and try. Carl got stuck with the oldest group of boys, the teenage boys, the 13 through 18-year-old boys. And these guys are not always the easiest group of guys to crack. This is the east side of Detroit. Not everybody is as polite as we might have in our neighborhoods. And on Thursday, during the devotion, between the two different sports sessions, Carl was able to share the full message of salvation. You see, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we put some building blocks out there. But on Thursday, we shared the full message of salvation. And it was given to Carl in a book form where he could look at it. And he planned to look at the book and kind of share it with the kids that way. But all of a sudden, he started looking away from the book. And I happened to walk by, because I knew Carl wasn't real confident about what was going on. And I happened to walk by, and every one of these 12, 13 guys, teenage guys that were in his group, were riveted to what Carl was saying. They were listening, hearing the message of Jesus dying on the cross for them, hearing the message of how, in a world that there seems to be no hope and no frustration, that the fact that we have a God that loves us so much that sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so that you can have hope, the hope of salvation, the hope to go to heaven. And I kept listening, and it was amazing to hear the response of these 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old guys that had been challenging Carl all week, giving him a hard time because they didn't want to do this or they didn't want to do that, but they really wanted the free meal and wanted to play basketball all week. And Carl was sharing Jesus with them, and they were wondering and learning. And at least three of the kids said, I want to know more. Can I go to church on Sunday? What an awesome testimony. Carl then afterwards, I asked Carl, I said, Carl, what did you think of sharing that message today? He says, Paul, I would never have believed this. I felt like I was walking 3 feet in the air, and I had no idea what I was saying. The Lord was putting the words in my mouth, and I didn't even know how it was going, but Jesus was using me, and it was so cool to share that message. We all can be a rock, a stone, being used by Jesus. It might not be the way Carl was sharing the gospel specifically like that. Another way you can think of is later on this afternoon, roll in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about how each and every one of us are part of the body of Christ. Not all of us are going to be the ones that are going to go out and share the whole message of salvation, but we can be used in different ways. Just like a hand and a mouth, we're all part of the different body of Christ. We can be used by Him. So as you hear these voices that discourage you, don't be discouraged. Know that you are loved by Christ. You are part of the family of Christ. Your identity can be found knowing that you are a child of God who loves you and cares for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to fill us with His Spirit so that we can remember that we are His child. Would you rise and pray with me? Lord, I just thank You. I praise You that You have made us Your child, that by Your death and resurrection on the cross, we can have the assurance that You do love us, that You do forgive us, and that we know that we can have a hope to be with You someday in heaven, Lord. We pray that You'd help us to remember that we are Your children, that no matter what other people say to us, no matter what people call us, no matter what things have happened in our past, that we can know that we are Your children, and that whatever those things are, Lord, those don't matter, but that what matters is that we are Your child, loved by You, cared by You, given a task to go out and share Your word. Lord, we thank You that You have given us this, that You have loved us and cared for us, and that we can have the promise of eternal life as Your child. Lord, we pray now as we go forth out of this service today, we pray that You give us the confidence to remember that we are part of Your kingdom, given the keys as Your child, an eternal heir of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.